I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
I'd like to help you mentally if I really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a windy tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information, asking for the blood, blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two. This is Dave Hodges, your host, along with the health chick, my great friend, Katie Whalen, and she's got a terrific segment coming up for you in the third hour, as she always does. We were going through and editing some things last night, and we realized how many great shows she has done. So we're going to be hitting that in the third hour. Our thanks to Kathy Rubio, No Holds Barred. What a great segment. Thanks so much for sharing that with us, although it just furthers my insomnia. So thanks for that too, Kathy. And this hour, we're going to be talking to Kate Daly, and she is also a No Holds Barred person. She is delightful, but she tells it like it is. But first, I want to remind you that this segment for this hour is also brought to you by Ready Made Resources. Bob Griswold, the best way to get prepared. Go to readymaderesources.com, 1-800-627-3809. Again, that's 1-800-627-3809. And of course, my good friend Steve Quayle will be happy to convert your soon-to-be worthless cash in the bailed-in banks. And he'll do that for you if you'll call him at 486-586-4842. Renaissance Precious Metals. Link is also on my website, as is Bob Griswold. And I also want to remind people that if you don't have a decent supply of food, you need to get ready, and you need to get ready now. At least start with 30 days. Do something. And for that, you can go to numana.com/Hodges. Okay, well, that gets the sponsorships out of the way for this hour. And we are pleased to welcome for the first time to the Common Sense Show, although I've been on her show a number of times, Kate Daly. Kate, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Yeah, what's the deal with that, Dave? I'm just
kidding. No, I don't know. You know, it's funny. Katie and I talk about you a lot. And
you're
kidding. We said, got to get her on. And, you know, finally I just said, you're not. You know what? We got to get her on.
And, yeah, you guys are great.
Yeah, we're this is not going to be a first time deal here because, you know, I tune in to a lot of your podcasts, and you're hitting so many critical issues. And quite frankly, I'm surprised you're not being interfered with. But you've got something on the radar here, Kate, that really shocked me. We got into it some depth this afternoon.
Yeah.
And we put out a re-release of our show advertisement to a lot of different venues, and I reshaped it based on what you told me. And let's just go there. Let's talk about CMU's prisons and scare the heck out of us, because this is frightening stuff.
You know what? It is. I am so happy to be here. Thanks, Dave. I really love what you do, so thank you. And Katie as well. Okay, so I was looking at Schaefer Cox's story. Schaefer Cox is a political prisoner. He was very young, in his low 20s, married with a baby, and he was actually just sort of speaking out about the Constitution, about how people should love the Constitution, and our government doesn't love the Constitution, doesn't want to abide by it. There was a group that was started under him called the Alaska Peacemakers Militia, peacemakers being the operative word there. And he was all about peace, and he was all about making sure that people understood that the idea of a militia was just really, it was conceptual. It was an idea, an ideology, not necessarily something that was going to go get violent. It was just something that was going to be something that people should be aware of, that you fight for the causes if it ever gets to that point, but not now, kind of thing. So anyway, the FBI did everything they could to bring him down. And they even, I think, in my opinion, after reading the whole case, planted evidence against him. He never incited violence against the government. He never did anything. He never threatened anybody. But he's sitting in what's called a CMU now for 25 years of his life. He is not allowed to hug his wife or child. He gets about 30 minutes a week with them, not with them, just on the phone with them. He was transferred to what is a secret prison. It's a prison within a prison. There are two of them right now. One was started in 2006, and the other one was started in 2008. These secret prisons were started by the Board of Prisons for political prisoners. Now, first they were started for terrorists, and they have now been converted for political prisoners. That's really important information for your listeners to know. A CMU stands for Communication Management Unit, and these units are held, and they are the prisoners that go in there are your well-spoken people that have maybe, been taken in for their First Amendment because they somehow violated the First Amendment in the government's eyes, have been convicted of thought crime. Not necessarily crime, thought crime. The problem with these CMUs is that once you get in, you cannot get out. And there is no Board of Prison review for you. There is no appeal for you. You are sent to one of these prisons. One is in Indiana. One is in Illinois. They were started under George W. Bush, and then Obama has given it the green light. We're going to see more of these, and these communication management units are so secretive and so diabolical that when you're put in, if you cannot talk to your spouse or any friends about who is in there, what they're in there for, or what they do to you in there, you're not allowed to talk about it. And the idea there is one of the inmates risked his life in saying, Shaper Cox, in coming out and saying, if you get put in and you talk about it, they could put you in the hole for 25 years and nobody will be forced to do a review on it. Nobody will get you out of there. So they're all threatened and warned that if you do not stay on topic in the 30 minutes provided each week with the person that you're talking to on the phone, by the way, murderers get four times that amount of call time. Pedophiles get four times that amount of call time. Political prisoners, 30 minutes a week, 6 pages of mail a month that is heavily scrutinized by the staff, and then they tell you what subjects you can talk about. You have absolutely zero human rights.
Scary.
Yeah.
Well, where is this legislation coming out of Congress that I can look at? Is there an executive order that says
there isn't.
Now the law?
It was actually started by the Board of Prisons. It was given the green light, first of all, for terrorists. So terrorists were supposed to be held in here. But you know what? Ever since the NDAA, it's very interesting, isn't it, in 2012, that now all of a sudden we have political prisoners in there, and they haven't done anything wrong. Honestly, there isn't anything concrete. It's usually made-up stuff by the FBI that gets them in there. And it's nothing that they've actually done. It's only things they're reported to maybe conceive of doing in the future. So these CMUs got the green light. Now, the CCR, the Center for Constitutional Rights, has actually filed a lawsuit in U.S. District Court in British and Columbia, 2012, Arif versus Holder, as in Eric Holder. Yes, he was the one that was behind these two in 2008, the one that just... There was one in 2006, one in 2008. Well, so it's against Eric Holder, and it is basically saying these are unconstitutional. How in the world are you doing this? Well, nothing has happened with this case. This case, actually, the Board of Prisons just tightened up to have stricter reign on who's in a CMU. They have done nothing to abolish the CMU, and most Americans do not know about them. So most Americans aren't going to their congressmen and saying, I'm sorry, what is this? Because I will venture to say that we will have more of these cropping up over the entire nation. You'll see more CMUs enacted to hold people like journalists, bloggers, people that stand up for the Constitution. That's basically what Shaper Cox was doing. He was standing up for the Constitution, and he said that the government was not abiding by it. And they got on his radar and would not let go and kept trying to get him to say that he would do something violent to the government, he would do something, carry out some act. And even though in all the rolls of tape that they taped on him, he never said once that he would be violent, they went ahead and put him in the CMU and have convicted him of things that he might be able to do in the future, like inciting a crowd to violence, even though that isn't what has happened. In fact, the CMU is so tightly controlled that he has no way to even talk to an attorney, so he can't get an appeal filed. Last time I checked on his what he was talking about as far as his wife, and everybody has been reporting on him. So He can't. He's in there for 25 years. I doubt he'll ever get out for 25 years.
I doubt he'll ever get out, period, unless we have a miracle in this country and turn this stuff around. What concerns me is this, and it sounds like it's a case of the BLM and the EPA all rolled into one, that the Board of Prisons, based on their own authority, are making law that's reserved for lawmakers.
Yes.
Am I getting this correctly?
Yes, you're right, Dave, because there wasn't any public notice of this. The public never had a chance to comment on this. The Board of Prisons, under the Department of Injustice, because I think that's what we need to really call them, the Department of Injustice, started these CMUs without any type of oversight, except for the Department of Justice. That's scary.
Do you remember
stuff.
When the San Bernardino shootings went down by that member of ISIS, and then Loretta Lynch came out, and rather than supporting the families, she said, if you dare to speak out against Muslim extremists, we're coming after you. I'm taking that as a threat now in a whole different light.
Oh, yeah. Between that and climate deniers, they're having a field day on the First Amendment. And we are the ones that care about the country, the ones that would stand up and not be violent, because I've never, ever even talked about violence on my show, ever. I don't even want that. But those that even speak about the Constitution, they call them what now, originalists? You are an originalist, Dave, because you believe in the Constitution. You know that old document, the original document? That's what's so sad is we've gotten to a point where the Department of Justice, which operates out of the District of Columbia by a whole other set of rules, and Dave and I could probably do a whole show just on that, and who you are really a citizen of, because it's not the United States of America, it's the United States. It's a totally different corporation. But the Department of Justice operates out of the executive branch. The president is in charge of the executive branch. There is no oversight. They can do stuff without Congress. They can do stuff. They can do anything they want to do. And they have free reign. And I don't know if people really understand or realize how much free reign they actually have. When you go file a court case, you have to do so in the District of Columbia. Has anyone ever wondered about that? You have to go file your court case in U.S. District Court for the Department of Injustice. And so this is scary stuff for Americans. If you don't know what your rights are and you don't know what you can do about them, you're stuck in a CMU because you're a political prisoner. When they transfer you into that CMU, the Communications Management Unit, you can't. They give you no opportunity or any rules written down to say this is how you get out of there. And sometimes prisoners are put in there because they have problems with some of the rules, or they question what's going on in a regular prison. So they're sent into a CMU so that it's even stricter, so that you have basic zero civil rights, zero human rights, which means you get nothing unless they hand it to you or give it to you, which they give you nothing. So they can stick you in solitaire for months and months and months at a time in there, which is considered inhumane by the awful United Nations. It's considered inhumane, but they still can do it and not have to report it to anybody. They do not have to report it. So you could be stuck in there. If you get out of there finally, out of solitary, you're still in a CMU. If you go and tell your spouse that you were in solitary, you could be put back into solitary for years and nobody would hear from you. And there is no appeals process and no rules as to which they say, okay, if you do these five things, you can get out of here, you know, out of the stricter unit. That's why prisoners really, they go in, never ever come out, because there's no way to get out. They don't publish even their own rules to this secret prison.
Kate, I was going to ask you, Katie here. Kate, this is, I know this is confusing. Do you know if these prisons are privately owned prisons or if these are federal prisons that are doing
these
this?
These are federal. These are federal prisons for what's considered federal prisoners, just like the Bundys would be. And these are run by the Board of Prisons, the BOP. These are not private.
Okay.
There's no oversight either.
I've read that the feds can actually bring in the equivalent of a PPP and have private prison people run it.
Maybe so. I know that the oversight from on high comes from the Department of Injustice and then also the BOP. So those are the two that have instigated it. Maybe they can run it by private, I'm not sure.
Let's talk about private prison just for a second to maybe perhaps see the links.
Sure.
One of the things that will shock people, and if they go to my website in the search engine at the Common Sense Show and put in privatized prisons and the CCA, what they'll eventually come across is how these prisoners are used as slave labor. They're paid anywhere between 4 to 50 cents an hour, usually on the lower side, and they're making products that are sold in companies like Neiman Marcus, all kinds of Wall Street firms, Target's involved. and as a result, what we have is slave labor. And if you don't comply with exactly what the privatized prison people want, they, without judicial approval, without the oversight of a judge, can add days and months and years onto your sentence. And I'm kind of thinking, because they're so self-contained, that what I'm reading, and I actually reached out to a couple people after we talked today, Kate, they said that the government can bring in whoever they want to run these, and they would be better off to let privatized prisons run these with their personnel, because then they have one-step deniability. In other words, if there's ever a day of accountability, it's the first line that goes down, and everybody else goes, well, they just got away from their mission.
Wow.
And that's what I was told today. So that's something I really want to investigate. Because this is like the Chicago black site, too, and you may know about this, where if you're arrested in Chicago, they look at your profile, your attitude, your demeanor, and they make a decision whether you go to a regular jail or you go to the black site where it lights a living hell.
Yeah. No, you know what? That is some scary stuff right there. I'm telling you, when the Patriot Act passed, and we were all, you know, oh my gosh. And it gave them the leeway to do what they did. They could have said domestic terrorism all throughout the 2000s, right? And they could have, and all of us would say, oh yeah, throw them in and lock away the key. Little did we know when the NDAA came out that that would actually mean us as citizens. That was now going to mean somebody violating, using their free speech to denounce what the government's doing. Now we're going after you and I. Now there are people in there like you and I. And the sad part is that most Americans are oblivious. When they hear the word terrorist, they say, we don't even care, don't give them any rights, right? But when we say political prisoner, that they've deemed them terrorists, but we say political prisoner because we know that that's what they are, now is that going to finally catch people's attention? Are we finally going to understand that people are being stripped of their rights and now they could be you and I and we could end up in one of these black holes like you're talking about, or we could end up in a CMU like what I'm talking about, when it's you're in there because you're talking about the Constitution. You're in there because you're denouncing what the government is doing. This is so scary to me that when I read it, I got emotional. I don't really get very emotional. I know I'm a girl, but I'm not like super girly. I don't get cry or emotional. I got emotional and I thought, nobody knows this is going on. These people are stuck in here for 25 years and they can hand these huge, heavy sentences. And nobody cares because they've labeled them with the word domestic terrorists, like they do the Bundys, and then they label them with, well, you know, whatever they want. Basically, they can come up with whatever they want. It's sick. It's sick.
You know, Kate, while you were talking, I had a brilliant idea. We don't know what a political prisoner is because we've never, as a culture, have had to deal with this. We need to educate the public now on some new terms that are coming out. One of them is, what is a political prisoner, and drill it down to the core, to the public. And also, if on people's blogs or Facebook or whatever, let's make a list of what the DOJ constitutes as a domestic terrorist and write that out. Do you believe in the Constitution?
Yes.
Do you believe in this and that? So that people have a clear idea of this propaganda, and then turn the propaganda on them so that it's sort of like what was that movie with Kirk Douglas? I Am Spartacus. So if everyone is a domestic terrorist, then it becomes a joke.
Right. No, I totally get that. So, in a domestic terrorist, if they want to come after you, the reason they're going to come after you is if they can pin somehow, some way that you're talking violence, inciting a riot, getting other people to go along with what you're going to say. That is the number one red flag to them, to be able to give them leeway to come after you. And I would say that we say political prisoner because we know the truth. They are a political prisoner. They are held for political reasons, and the political reason is they don't like the politics of what's going on, and they talk about it. But they'll do it under the guise of domestic terrorism, because when they say terrorism, we don't seem to care. We say they deserve it. They deserve anything they get. We have to redefine the word terrorism, because if they're going to use it as domestic terrorism, good old Harry Reid likes to use that term, then now we have to say, well, what does that mean to our government when it's us? When it's us, not some foreigner, when it's us, when it's their own people. It's that's the sad part, is that it's usually because they can say, well, that person belongs to a militia, or that person is inciting people, or they're getting people excited about violence, and that's usually the big red flag.
Well, we're talking to Kate Daly from Fox News Radio. In fact, you can follow her at foxnews1450.com, KZNU out of St. George, Utah. And a great show. You can catch her live stream, I believe, Kate, and I also know that you have podcasts because I listen to them. And before we go further here, because I need to take a breath, I'm getting a headache from this. This stuff is...
I know.
I mean, when you said you got emotional, I'm almost getting nauseous from hearing that I live in a country like this. Now, this is the worst totalitarian government among the G20. There is no question. We are now a totalitarian government. But anyway, tell people how they can listen to your show.
FoxNews1450.com. You can hit a listen live button. I'm on every day from 1 to 4. And I also do The Blaze. So I'm a podcast on The Blaze Radio Network. And you can listen to The Kate Show every Saturday on The Blaze Radio Network. So I have two different shows. And you can go to SoundCloud and look up The Kate Daly Show or The Kate Show, and you can get all these episodes. There's probably about 550 episodes up right now on SoundCloud. We go over numerous topics, lots of topics, and you name it. We've done it probably on the show.
I know. I've been there.
Do you think the organization COWS can help the COWS, the senators that are helping the ranchers? Can they help these people?
Yes, anytime we can get our elected officials to speak out and bring awareness, because it's been crickets on a lot of these land and rancher issues, which has really been sad for me to witness. But COWS is one of those organizations that's helping, and if we could get more involved, but the people have to demand it, and we are in election years. When you demand it, they will do something, but you have to keep on them, and you have to keep calling them, and you have to keep putting pressure on them to do it.
Agreed. Good, thanks.
Yeah, you bet.
What do you say to this allegation here as we're taking a momentary break from this most disturbing news? Wow, did we hear that?
Yeah.
Did that come through?
Yeah,
I heard
was
it.
Strange.
Okay. That was interesting. Okay. That's very reminiscent of the sound that Katie and I hear when we talk about sensitive topics. But anyway, it really is. Here is something that I'm getting a lot of. In fact, I know I'm over the target, because as Steve Quayle likes to say, when you're getting flack, you know you're over the target. And I've been getting a lot of flack. And a lot of flack that I'm getting is, oh, this is just conspiracy theory nonsense. Like, two bad people would never get together to plan to do something wrong. How do you respond to that allegation?
Oh, the word conspiracy theorist. You know what? It's conspiracy fact. There have been secret combinations going on in this country in this world for eons. And I think when people finally wake up, you know something isn't right because of your experience with it not being right. And if people want to say and kind of put the wool over their own eyes and covers over their head and put their fingers in their ears and say la la la, they just don't want to listen. I get it because it makes life a lot easier. And I used to be one of those people 5 years ago. But let me say this, when it comes to conspiracies, there are many, many things out there that all you have to do is look them up, and the government will tell you, yes, this exists, and just like CMU, go and do your research, because that's all you'll find is a lot of facts. There's absolutely no theory attached to this. This is real, and there are people in these prisons, and no, they cannot talk about it, and so go look it up. There's so many things like this that are right in front of our face that I get to the point where I get a little just, okay, enough already. Stop acting like everything is a conspiracy theory because you don't want to know the truth. When you finally say, okay, let me at least go educate myself, you're going to find out that 90% of it, there's truth there. So it's either all true or there's a major part of truth there. And so it's all about education. We must educate this country. We all know in the last 100 years that the deficit has never gone down, and the things that they do when the good team is in or the bad team is in, when no matter what team that is to you, when team A or team B is in, they never repeal anything that the other team did. So right there, over the last 100 years, if you don't know the parties are the same, then you really got to wake up, because I'd say that's a great starting point. There's proof in the pudding. The last 100 years, nothing has been repealed. Nothing. Not one thing. So every time for 8 years when people complain and say, oh, the bad team is the reason we can't get anything good done in Washington. Well, when the other team goes in, they don't repeal anything that went through. That should be people's biggest clue. There is more going on right now and more at stake than people realize. And I think that people's experience in their lifetime should tell you that things aren't what they seem. Only 13% believe in the media anymore, the mainstream. And there's a reason for that. It's because we know we were sold a box of rocks, and we know that we haven't been getting the straight story for a long, long time. So,
13% is generous. I just read 6% last week.
Well, there you go. It's dropped. That doesn't shock me.
Well, I think the Trump issues had a lot to do with it. I mean, I've never seen a time. I mean, this country was actually unified for a while against Donald Trump. And I don't mean the people, the rank and file. Every major corporation, because they're all under free trade agreements and benefit from illegal immigration, all the major banks, most of Congress, because they get bribed through campaign donations to vote in these free trade agreements and so forth, and look the other way on immigration. And you go down and you have the whole host of characters, as you know, Kate. They were so unified against Donald Trump. How the heck did he win?
I don't know. But let me say this. I did do a story the other day where I kind of led into a possibility that he might be buying up the media right now. And when I talked about that on the show, people were a little shocked. But the person that I'm trying to think of the word, the person that really instructed him a lot at Wharton College, actually owns Alden. Alden is a company that invests, and they are investing in buying up all of these. They have a huge stake in Gannett Publishing, and they're buying up all these newspapers. You know, newspapers aren't doing so well, so why are they so busily buying them up? It just kind of cracked me up. I thought, man, if he gets to control the media, at least they won't be bashing him to the point they are now. I don't know.
Well, but you know, the buy-up of the media, you know, here, you know, we have a Gannett-owned newspaper in Phoenix, the Arizona Republic, and what they're doing is they're transferring a lot of their content onto the Internet, and that's because, 60% of people under the age of 40 get all their news from digital means?
Yes.
And I can see he's looking at that as an investment of the future, but also to control the word. And you know what? If Donald Trump's doing that, I'm very uncomfortable with that.
You don't want anybody to control journalism. You don't want anybody to control that entity that can bring things to light, no matter who it is. I don't care who it is. I don't want anybody controlling that. So anytime you get that, it's going to be scary. But there's so many issues going on right now, and so many things going on, like with the Conservation Act, maybe we'll talk about. There's so many things going on right now that people are not aware of at all. We are so fixated on what the media wants us to be fixated on. Always wonder, well, what are they not telling us? What are they not wanting us to be looking at? Because, man, there's a lot of stuff happening right now.
What's your relationship like with Facebook?
You know, I've been posting a lot lately that I love the government and that I believe in it.
Well, then it was a stupid question.
It'll be used against us. And they did that for Dave Bundy. My friend was sitting in court when they hauled Dave Bundy in. Dave Bundy was one of the Bundys that was at the protest in 2014. But all he was doing was flipping pancakes for the protesters, and he took some pictures. Well, that's all he did. He wasn't even armed. He didn't even have his concealed carry, nothing. Well, they had 20 FBI agents seize him and bring him in, and when they brought him in, the judge read a Facebook post of his on sitting there as the judge and on the stand, and he said, "You have a T-shirt posting that says, do whatever it takes or whatever it takes," something like that. And he said, "That tells me that you'll incite people. And your Facebook page is the page that describes your ideology. Your ideology, your political ideology. And for that reason, we're going to keep you without bail." And they threw him in solitary confinement. No bail. He didn't even do anything. Nothing. His brother Mel, all he had was a horse and was riding on a horse with a flag. That was it. That was all these gentlemen did. And Mel Bundy is sitting in solitary as well, or was sitting in solitary just until a few weeks ago. Their only crime was their political ideology on Facebook. That's all they could point to as an indicator, as an indication of their guilt. It floored me that they were able to keep them in prison just based on that without bail. That's amazing.
No, it's Nazi Germany.
It is Nazi Germany.
It's Stalinist Russia. And I want to make one thing clear, and I think we need to declare ourselves here in the interest of self-preservation, but I don't advocate for violence, but that doesn't mean that I can't see the irresistible force coming against the immovable object. Conflict is coming to our country unless there's divine intervention, and I don't see how it's not going to happen. How many people, how many Americans are going to just sit by idly, why this neighbor disappears and that neighbor disappears? And see, we got something the Germans don't, or didn't at that time. The German Enabling Act took away their guns. Americans aren't going to give up their guns in very big numbers. That's why I don't see, I don't want violence. I'm too old to fight. Too fat to run, too old to fight. I just want everyone to get along. But the reality is here that I just, you know, there's no, Kate, I don't see it any other way. I don't see how we're not going to have conflict between our military and our foreign occupiers out of the United Nations when they come for our guns under the Small Arms Treaty.
You know, I'm not sure how it will all play out. I do know that the more people that are educated can get a little bit smarter about this and maybe go about it in ways that we haven't thought of if we put our heads together and we realize, you know, with the Underground Railroad and all of these different things that happened during these times that were just insane in our country, even the Underground Railroad had a plan. They worked as a group. They figured it out and how to make it work and how to communicate with each other when they were going through these perilous times. And I really think that maybe that is in one way what we need to do is get a little bit smarter about the future, about what we can do that is peaceful. You know, that was a pretty peaceful group, although they were just big on communication and they had little things in their yards that would say, well, this is what I'm about. Remember the little lawn jockeys that they had on the yard?
So
there are things that have been done in history, and I think there's a lot to learn from history. Look at how, you know, we had 9% act out against the Brits, and the Brits seemed, I think, even a bigger force than maybe even what we're up against right now. Maybe not, but at the time it seemed that way. So how did they get even 9% to do something? Well, there was a lot going on. They had their spy ring. They had that was ordinary citizens communicating and doing the things that they needed to do to communicate with other people to get things done in that way. I think there's a lot of other ways we can do things too. We just need to get a little bit smarter. That's all I think. I think that we need to understand our citizenship is a big one. You need to understand what you're a citizen of and what you've agreed to, what terms and conditions you've signed. Look at your voter. Look at the voter, what you signed when you became a voter. That is huge. There's some big news there. People need to look into that. So you need to know what your rights are, and then you need to know how to convey those rights in a court that will shut them down in a way in the court system, because that is a big deal. That's going to be a big deal with us. Just look at these political prisoners that we have right now. So there's lots of things I think that if we can get smarter and educate people, then maybe there is a chance to do it without that. And I would love to see that. I really would.
I do too. And really, nonviolent change is what this show has always been about.
Mm-hmm.
But the other side is not preparing to be nonviolent. It takes two. What do they say? A positive and a negative. When you combine them, are a negative. And we take two people who are on the same page here, who truly want peace. And this is why most Americans have a normalcy bias. They don't want to be dragged into the gutter and have their lives turned upside down by a civil war. It's the people who are trying to oppress us that are pushing the levers in this. So if they want to go arrest people for free speech violations and encouraging violence, let's start with Eric Holder, and let's go to Loretta Lynch Mob, and let's arrest those people.
Yeah, I agree with you. But look at how uneducated we are, though, Dave and Katie. Look at what's going on right now. Look at the Conservation Act of 2015 that was passed by both parties. Believe me, they're the same party. Both parties. overwhelmingly both parties. And that Conservation Act, people are signing their life away. They don't even realize it. If people were educated in this, they wouldn't be signing their property over to this monster problem of a government. They wouldn't be doing that. But look at the, you know, if you want to go there, we can go there. I don't know where you want to go.
Let's go there. Absolutely.
Okay, so on the West Coast, we have the BLM problem. That's all we hear about is the BLM encroaching. In fact, they're encroaching in my own city right now, 600,000 acres, and nobody's doing a thing about it. Anyway, so the BLM, what they do is they own most of the West Coast, and so they can use adjacent properties to cut off road access and cut off water to other people's privately owned properties and basically bully them off their land and force them off their land, okay? On the East Coast, the BLM doesn't own it like that. So what are they doing? Oh, you're going to love this. The audience is going to be so freaked out by this. Are you ready for this? In 2015, they passed the Conservation Act of 2015. And what they were doing on the East Coast was they're raising taxes. This is due to my friend from Voices of Dissent Radio, by the way, because she saw this contract with her own eyes, Melissa Smith. But she basically... What happens is they're raising the taxes three times the amount to a lot of these farmers that are on a fixed income. The land's been in their families forever. The Conservation Act is running in and saying, hey, we can save you from this problem. If you sign on the dotted line, what we'll do is we'll keep this land in your family name forever. So if it's the Smith family, we're going to put this cute little sign on the front entrance of your property, and it's going to say the Smith family is part of the Conservation Act of 2015. So get this, Dave and Katie. This is what it says on the tail end of the contract. Everybody listen up, because this is huge. When you get to the bottom of the contract, because believe me, when Melissa took it in, the lawyer went white when she read it. It says that you are signing your property over to the Conservation Act, which is supposedly going to keep it in your family name forever, and then you're relieved of the taxes, right? But you are signing it over to the United States, this is what it says in fine print right at the bottom, and its successor forever, which
its
means in
successor.
Perpetuity. Successor.
Successor.
Who is the United States successor, Dave?
My guess would be, and I'll avoid being sarcastic, my guess would be the United Nations and whoever they put in charge.
Yeah, China, whoever owns us right now, whoever.
Well, I can tell you who the landlord will be. I don't know if you've ever followed the work of Peter Sutherland, but I exposed him 5 years ago as the mastermind of the Gulf oil explosion. It was a contrived event, and the way you can trace it, he used to be the head of British Petroleum. He quit less than a year before, and Goldman Sachs hired him. And Goldman Sachs did all these put options on the Transocean oil rig, on the related oil. And so the preferred insiders didn't lose a dime in this investment. And they knew this was coming because it happened across the board. And Peter Sutherland was the coordinating agent. But here's what else Peter Sutherland does. Not only is he head of the West European Trilateral Commission, he is also in charge of immigration relocation for the United Nations.
Oh, boy.
And I think he's created an ecological event. I talk to people down in the Gulf a lot. When I investigated this, this never makes the mainstream media, but people like Wilma Subra and then Kim Anderson, who was at one time at Oregon State University, and they did research down there, and we're finding benzene levels, cancer-causing levels in people's blood, randomly selected 65 times higher than normal. And I've asked various doctors for their projections on this and what they would say this means, and what they conclude is a person born today in the toxic soup called the Gulf, if you're in the wrong area, your lifespan could be cut 25 to 40%. And
oh
I believe
gosh.
It's a move to move, you know, Jesse Ventura covered this in a show, Conspiracy Theory. It's a move to move people out of the Gulf because they don't want that to be an economic hub. They've done all kinds of things we don't have time to get into to show that I'm right on this. But Peter Sutherland will be the landlord. We'll be under federal occupation, much as the South was following the Civil War during our Reconstruction period. And you will have no rights, you will own no property, you will have no bank account. When you read deeply into these Agenda 21, now Agenda 2030 documents, They tell you, you're going to have nothing. The state will take care of you. You don't need anything. This is where we're headed, Kate.
Oh, I absolutely know that. That is very, very true. In fact, these contracts that people are signing right now, and they're not looking at the fine print when it says you're signing it over to United States and its successor, it actually says that. I mean, it's so bold and brazen, and it says forever, which is in perpetuity, which means that that is illegal in a contract. You can't do that forever. But what happens is the Conservation Act, they can go in and tell you to stop farming, stop ranching, what you're going to farm, what you'll be ranching, and how you'll be doing it. They have complete and total control over the property. This is how they're absorbing properties all over the nation. But the problem is the East Coast and the West Coast aren't talking right now. So on the West Coast, you're not going to hear anything about this. And on the East Coast, they weren't hearing very much about the Bundy and their plight and what they're going through in trying to save ranchers' land. Whether you agree with how the Bundys did it or not, it doesn't mute the point that they are so busy taking properties, and ranchers are going out of business every single day. These are good men. These are salt-of-the-earth people that all they want to do is run their business and run their land. They don't want anyone else's land. They just want their own, but not so much for the government. They're not going to be happy until they own it all, and that is 2030. That is 2030, and even in in Agenda 21, they talk about so many things that people, it doesn't register. Like they say, well, you need to have a normal amount of water per person. Well, what does that mean to somebody else? What does that mean to somebody like the UN? To the UN, the normal amount of water is 40 liters. That means one person in your family taking a shower, that's it. No cooking, no cleaning, no drinking, nothing. One person taking a shower is 40 liters. To them, that's a normal amount of water. To us, that is scarcity beyond belief. So we're not communicating. We don't understand what these things mean in our future. And boy, we better start getting educated. We better start listening and understanding what is going on. People are signing their life away on the East Coast for this property. The United States and its successor, that means they're already preparing that successor to take over. That is sick to me. It's sick to me that both houses almost unanimously voted for this stupid Conservation Act. So go and ask your congressman why in the world they voted for this turkey, why they voted for this thing that's robbing people of their property and giving it to the government, and the government gets control. We are not understanding what's going on in America right now. We're so blind. You know why? Because we have good hearts and we don't think people are capable of this. We don't think they we don't have it in us. And it's Shakespeare once said. Shakespeare said, you know, you have that which you see without is what you have within. We don't have it within us to see this without. We don't see this as it's happening because we're good people. But I'm telling you, there are things at play and things going down right now in America that are huge that we need to be looking at, and we need to be communicating, and the coast need to be communicating and saying, what in the world is going on here? Because if we don't, at one point, you know, all those people that talk about the Bundys and they regurgitate media junk and they say, oh, they're domestic terrorists. I sit there and I shake my head because what they're doing is nailing in all the nails in the coffin for all of us. Because what they don't get is that it's homeowners next. Like these mixed-use leases that are being passed in every single city, they're being passed in my city right now. Mixed-use leases make it impossible for people to do either business or residential. They're tying up property everywhere and nobody's seeing it. It's going on underneath it all. And nobody's wise enough, and we're all stuck on Kim Kardashian and what Trump said last. And nobody's seeing it. Property rights are the reason America became America. This is what separates us from the third world countries, is that they do not have property ownership and we do. But it is being taken out from under us at every angle that you can possibly imagine right now, even with water, waterways, water wells, a pond, whatever you want to call it. And we're sitting by watching it happen. So all those people that say that these people fighting for their land, these ranchers, are domestic terrorists, they're fighting for their way of life, for property ownership. We have got to embrace that and understand that as a country, because we're next. Property homeowners, we're next. Sorry, I'll get off my rant.
No, this you're saying what I would be saying.
Oh,
well, you know, I went through this.
Insane.
I told you how I got involved in this when McCain and his merry band of globalists tried to steal my land and that of my neighbors. And And I, and you know the story, and my audience knows the story, so I'm not going to go into it. But you are just basically repeating a theme that's going on over and over. But there's something else at work here, too. What concerns me is the fact that the Chinese are buying up the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
And the Federal Reserve spent, oh gosh, what was it, 2012 to 2014, they spent $40 billion a month in buying mortgage-backed securities. I'm working off of memory, but I think I'm right. Well, if the Chinese are getting their hands on that, that means that the final end destination note that owns your mortgage is probably bundled in there.
That's scary stuff right there. That's scary.
And we know J.P. Morgan is selling off to the Chinese, and I published an article which contained in part, oh gosh, I forget, 7 to 10 days ago, the derivatives debt as they existed in December of 2015. So this information is 6 months old because it's the last available. And you look at a debt. Let me just give you two examples. Wells Fargo, their debt's $275 trillion to derivatives. To Bank of America, it's $278 trillion. Well, I went and said, well, how much of a percentage of that is that of the entire planet? The entire planet with hard assets, not computer digits, but hard assets, is $70 trillion.
Jeez.
We can never pay this off, Kate. This is why I'm saying there's an inevitable clash. Do you see the bankers and the top corporations giving up on collecting on this debt?
No. Oh, heavens. Oh,
hey,
heavens.
Donald Trump's going to be elected, and we're going to follow the Constitution, and we'll pay our 35% free trade agreement tax to bring our products back into the country to restore American
it's
jobs.
It's not going to happen.
Like hell it's going to happen, exactly.
It's not going to happen. I played a whole host of campaign promises along the way, and it was so funny to listen to everybody's campaign promises for the last 30 years. And not one of them, not a single one ever came true. And that's why I say, don't listen to promises. Don't listen to it. You've got to just do your homework on these people. And you know what? It doesn't matter. I think the thing that matters is that we become educated. You make your home a heaven on earth for you and your children or whatever your situation is. You work on you. You work on educating those around you. We all have about, between 100 and 1,000, you know, people that we know, and you work on the circles around you. The more we do that in our society, the more we educate around us. And sometimes people think, well, I can't do a lot because I'm not that big of a voice. Oh, yes, you are. You write editorials into these newspapers. You educate those around you. If we can get a populace that's educated, if we can start to understand what our real history is, not the whitewash history we get in the history books, but the real history, if we can start really figuring out what's going on here, maybe we can get smart enough to deal with it and to understand it and maybe have, I don't know, some things work in our favor, but we've got to get smarter because they've been working on this for a very long time. They've had a huge head start, but it doesn't mean that we have to sit here and just throw our hands up and give up. It just means we need to be smarter. We just need to work on it a little bit.
Kate, everything we've talked about tonight, and both with you and our first hour guest, Kathy Rubio, and more, was written about in 1997 by a guy named Grutus. And I'm going to explore this in the third hour. My good friend Bill Pollack, who was the husband of my news director for 6 years, Annie DeRiso. Bill Pollack and I were friends before he met Annie, and we were working on UN stuff, and he came across Grutus. Grutus was murdered in 1997 for citing public documents, publicly sourced intelligence documents that you can get without violating anything, news stories, press releases, and he said almost word for word what we're saying. And if you want the detail on that, I've written an article on that that's up on the Common Sense Show today. This is exactly what he was murdered for. And we came within an eyelash of getting it. Bill traveled to Boulder, Colorado from the guy that inherited his stuff. The government did not get all of it. And this guy had been scared into not talking to us. In fact, actually, I thought he probably had it confiscated. But his pen name was Garudas, G-A-R-U-D-A-S. And we're going to get into this heavily in the last half of the third hour. So when you say that, you said what you just said, Kate, you don't know how true you are. What you just said, how long they've been after this, well, you can go back to Alger Hiss, you know, when the United Nations was being formed. But you really look at 20 years ago is really when this began to manifest.
Yes, and I know that we want to look and we want to see all the goodness. You know, of course, the people that govern us care about us, and I understand that. But you know what? All you have to do is look at a career politician that wants the job so bad they're willing to say whatever they can say to get that job again, to understand that there's more at stake here, there's more going on here. And I know your audience is very awake. I know that they understand these things, and so I don't want to preach to the choir. But what I do want to say is that a lot of people out there still think that by just getting the right president, we're going to be okay. Not in a gazillion years. It doesn't matter. What matters is your governor. What matters is your at least your local congressman to stand up, but your governor and your local government. Those are the things that matter more than who's president anymore, or who's king, I should say, of our country. We need to be able to not only be educated, but be vocal about that education. And I don't want to always sit and cower in fear. I think that God supports you when you're going to talk and when you're going to say things. And I never ever cower from even talking about God on my show, even though it's not the politically correct thing to do on a Fox affiliate. Who cares? Do it anyway. Do it anyway. Just say it anyway. It doesn't even matter now. And most people will sit there in agreement with you. You know, we weren't founded as a Christian nation. I don't think we were. We were founded with religious freedom. We chose Christianity. So maybe all of those people out there, the most of our country, those Christian people will nod their heads and say, yes, you know, keep talking or talk about God, because we have to get back to God in this equation. He is the most important part of this equation, and so hopefully he can help us through our humility and through the humility of these civil servants who are so bought up in these bought and sold political careers that it's just gross. I just feel like, you know what? Speak boldly, speak loudly, be faithful, be fearless, get out there and say things, and it's okay. It's okay to do it. I would rather do that and live my life like that for 15 minutes than have a whole lifetime of complacency and silence because I was too afraid.
Yeah, and this message has been brought to you by Kate Daly, and her new residence is CMU.
No, that's the truth. Dave, I am scared. That horrifies me. But man, do we need to let people know this so that they can contact their congressman and say, what in the world, you get on this and we're not putting you back into office. Believe me, they want the job bad. So you know what? So hang this over their head. Tell them they have after it.
When I was fighting my property rights battle, it leaked down into the Arizona legislature, and I made some really nice friends there, people who I really respect and admire. But there were some scoundrels, but I have to tell you, and I'm not a lawyer, and a lot of them are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was so much more educated on property law, case law, what McCain and his friends were doing wrong, and, you know, they weren't even just seizing our land, they weren't even going to pay us for it. And they were clueless. I had to actually educate them, and some of them genuinely wanted to know. My guy, Jack Harper, state senator, state house representative, he's a good guy. Mm-hmm. He really wanted to know, and he helped us. He helped us big time keep all these amendments out, called me and said, you need to be at this committee hearing. Oh, yeah, they were great people down there, but a lot of them had to be educated. So when we look at Congress and we say, contact your congressman, I think that you're going to have to not contact them. You need to educate them. And you need to keep it simple, stupid. KISS, keep it simple, stupid. Because this is the level they operate. They want normalcy bias. They want their vacations. They want their campaign donations. They want their little pages, you know, White House pages. They want everything, every benefit. And they don't want to know.
Yeah,
they don't want to know.
You are right. And
but if they
I
have children, they're the brown shirts. And if they have children, they got to care.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, back in the day when it was the British against the British, because we weren't yet Americans, we were the British against the British. And it was interesting because there were a lot of loyalists and very few patriots. And what's interesting is a lot of the loyalists thought they were patriots because underneath it all, they were patriots, right? And on the outside, they were loyalists, so the government thought that they were right in lockstep. But it's going to take a whole lot of patriots. It's going to take a lot of people that are very interested in restoring this, but we can do it in peaceful ways. And education is huge. Education, education, education. I sat at a county convention, and I watched how the politician would get up with 10 politicians behind him. Basically, those politicians were saying, this is the establishment, we approve him. And I looked at people's faces, and they were like, well, you know, he's well-liked, I think we'll go with him. And I thought, is everybody in this room completely stupid? Come on. This is the guy you don't want because he's getting a stamp of approval from establishment. Vote the carpenter in. Vote the guy that says, I don't want to be here. Vote the statesman in. Vote the guy that says, I'm going to say no to everything because we're overregulated. These are the ways in which we need to wake up as a country, because we tend to just keep doing the same thing that results in the same result that we keep getting, but we keep complaining about the result. That result isn't going to change unless we change as a people. We have to change. And we have got to get busy doing that. And that's uncomfortable, and it means that we have to be humble enough to address where we've gone wrong. And if we can do that, and we can start addressing this from a different perspective and a different point of view, maybe there's a chance. Maybe there's a chance that we get this country back. I don't know. But we need to start humbly making these changes that are uncomfortable, that say, wow, I've been doing this wrong for 50 years, and maybe I ought to change. Because it's us. We're the problem. We're the problem. We've allowed all this. We've allowed all this to happen right under our breath. We've just sat by and said we couldn't do anything about it. What if we would have started making all these changes that we're making now 100 years ago, 50 years ago? Our country would be much different. But we need to at least start now. There's no reason to not, and we're all held accountable for that, I do believe.
We respond to crisis. We're not very good at foreseeing what's coming and acting. In the time we have left, I'd like you to share again with our listening audience how they can become your listening audience and follow your good work.
Oh, well, thank you, Dave. I so appreciate you having me on and having me on with your audience. They can go to FoxNews1450.com, and they can listen every day from 1 to 4 live, no matter where they are. That's Mountain Time. And then also you can go to TheBlazeRadioNetwork.com, and you can see The Kate Show, and there's 4 different ways to listen to it there. And my biggest message is, we were born for this time. You're on the earth for a reason right now, and that's why you need to wake up, get educated, and help with this cause, because you were born for this. We were born for this. And that's okay. That's a good sign. That's a good thing. So I'm excited, and that we need to band together a little bit and help each other.
I think those are words to live by, and very good advice. Kate, it's been a distinct pleasure to have you on, and I'm sorry we waited so long, but we're not going to wait so long for the next time.
Well, I appreciate you, Dave, and I've always loved having you on my show. And Katie, you're awesome. I just love the work that you guys are doing, and keep on keeping on. Keep doing it. I love it. You guys are great.
Okay.
Kate Dowling, everybody. And Kate, thanks for joining us. We are out of time for this segment. Thanks, Kate. And we will be back in hour number 3 with Katie Whalen. Not Kate, but Katie Whalen in the Health Report, and then some interesting Garuda's revelations in the second half of the third hour. Our thanks to Kathy Rubio, Kate Daly. What a great, great combination that was. We'll see you in hour number 3.